Morning, church. Today our first reading is from Hebrews chapter 12, from verse 4 to 13, page 1211. 1211. All right, I'll start now. In your struggles against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his sons? It says, "My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline. Do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the ones he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. Endure the hardship as discipline. God is treating you as his children, for what children are not disciplined by their father? If you are not disciplined, and everyone undergoes discipline, then you're not legitimate, not true sons and daughters at all. Moreover, we all have human fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them for it. How much more should we submit to the Father of spirits and live? They disciplined us for a little while, as they thought best, but God disciplined us for our good, in order that we may share in his holiness. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Therefore, strengthen your feeble arms and weak knees. Make clever paths for your feet, so that the lame may not be disabled, but rather healed." This is the name of the Lord.
Six hundred and thirty-six. There's a lot in this chapter, so I think rather than read it all now, I'll read half of it, and then having taught that, I'll then read the second half. Otherwise, we'll get lost, I think, in all the details. So starting at the big number 3, chapter 3, bottom of the page. "My son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart. For they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them round your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim over with new wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline." So these are words that Maureen was reading. "My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline and do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves, as a father the son he delights in. Blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. She's more precious than rubies. Nothing you desire can compare to her. Long life is in her right hand. In her left hand are riches and honor. Her ways are pleasant ways, and all her paths are peace. She is a tree of life to those who take hold of her. Those who hold her fast will be blessed. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. By his knowledge, the watery depths were divided and the clouds let drop the dew. So I'll stop there. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please keep that passage open. We're going to be thinking about it together. The book of Proverbs that we're looking at on our Sunday morning series teaches us how to live well in this world. This is the world God has made. On the screen it says, wisdom is living well by making good choices. We face situations in the world that are complicated, and it's difficult for us to know what to do. Wisdom is the ability to learn to make good choices. Let's think about a very practical example, how a child learns to cross the road. Can we have the next slide here? Here we go. So for a baby, they are simply carried across the road by their parents. Okay, no choice about it. A little toddler, the parent will hold their hand and they might pull them across, but they're taken across by the parent. Again, very little understanding, but the parent takes them across. An older child, the parent is now starting to say, look, we wait at the edge, we're looking for cars and traffic, stop and wait, is it clear? Yes, let's go. So the parent is starting to teach them. So by the time they're a teenager and they go out on their own, the parent is saying to them, I've given you the principles, you know how to cross the road safely, you look for a place where you can see the traffic, put those into practice. Okay, that's a simple example about learning to make good choices. The training is not a matter of do this because I say so, because that doesn't prepare a child to live, because when they're a teenager, they're walking to school on their own or going out on their own. They can't rely on having dad and mum there always saying, do it like this. They need to be taught how to make the right decisions in life. Okay, and that's what wisdom is. We take instruction, we respect the elders who teach us because they've got experience and they've got understanding. But then we take those principles and practice them ourselves in new situations when they're not with us and we have to make the choice. That's being wise. So in this picture, we've got the parents' control. There's less and less control by the adult. The parents' control goes down. Okay? It starts very high. They carry the baby. The baby has got no choice about it. But by the time the child is a teenager, they're making all the decisions themselves, no longer under control of the parents. So at the same time, there's more and more practicing by the child of what they've learnt. So, the toddler has been told, you look, can you see? The parent is helping them to see, and then when they're old enough, they let them go off and do it themselves. So there's increasing responsibility on the part of the child. It goes up. So the book of Proverbs is like this in all sorts of other situations. It's not the book of Proverbs is telling us God will make our choices for us. The book of Proverbs is in this sort of training that we need to become people who make choices. We make good choices that fit with the world that we live in. Wisdom is living well by making good choices. Now, second aspect of this is maybe there are situations where you have to do something, but you don't know what to do. So you pray to God for help. The Bible has got directions from God for life. We must follow that. But we will face situations where it's not clear what to do. He doesn't promise to make the choices for us. We have to make those choices. And to do that well, we must learn wisdom. We change, we grow to become wise people by practicing those good choices. And the book of Proverbs is here to help us be wise like that. Wisdom, it sort of develops instincts, so we know very quickly about dangers to avoid. Chapter 2 talked about the dangers of people who are untrustworthy men who lie, and the dangers of unfaithful women who would tempt young men. So we need to learn instincts that protect us when things that are attractive and seductive but wrong That's necessary for us to cope in a confusing world. So there's a second aspect. So wisdom first is living well by making good choices. And we change as we make those good choices. We become a good character. And we become protected from some of the dangers in the world around us. The third thing, the book of Proverbs is for believers. It sets out the way to live, but it only makes sense if you begin with God. As we know from chapter 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So this book is not describing how you become one of God's children. The book of Proverbs isn't here to show you how to become one of God's children. It's laying out the way for God's children to become what we should be. It doesn't make you into a believer following this. It shows you how to grow to be like Jesus. Jesus was the perfect, wise person because he faced situations in life where it was hard to know what to do, and in his wisdom, he made the right choices. If we are his people, we're becoming like him. But it's not an instant thing, is it? When you become a believer, you're not perfectly wise. How will we grow to learn to make good decisions? Well, the book of Proverbs is one of the ways there. You might have thought that when you became a believer, the thing is to stop thinking. I don't think I let the Holy Spirit make the choices for me. That's not Christian. Do you know that? That's not a Christian way to think. The Bible does not say the Holy Spirit will choose for you. In fact, being a believer is when we really start to think. Because we start to become wise like Jesus. Jesus was the person who engaged with difficult, confusing situations, and he knew how to make the best choice. That's what we should be becoming like as we learn wisdom from the book of Proverbs and other parts of the Bible. If you're here and you're not a believer, please stay and listen. But please understand that what you're hearing from this part of the Bible is not telling you how to become one of God's children. It's showing you what it's like for those who are God's children. When God takes first place in our lives, this is one of the things that should be happening. So last week we had Proverbs chapter 2, where it urged us to get wisdom so we can make these good choices, and said wisdom protects you from dangerous situations, dangerous people. Chapter 3 gives us some more detail about what a wise life is like and some reasons that we should have for wanting to be wise. So next slide, please. Here we go. Proverbs chapter 3, become wise. And the first thing we've got here really is summed up as fully commit your life to God. You will become wise, making good choices in this world, as you fully commit yourself to God's ways. Now that's in the West. That is a strange thing to say. In the West, people will generally think the wise person is the person who doesn't believe in God. You know, the people in universities who publish books and people go to their lectures, they start off by saying, oh, don't believe in God. But the Bible says, no, wisdom comes for those who recognize God. And in verses 1 to 10, we've got some commands from God with the benefits that come from keeping them. And that's how we think about the child learning to cross the road. You don't just say, do this because I tell you. You tell the child what to do and you explain why, so they have understanding. And this is what we have from God. God's word here is not just do this because I tell you. God gives reasons that would make us want to do those things. Let's look at the instructions first. I'm just going to look on to verse 3, instruction there. Let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. This is basic and essential to living properly in God's world, is love and faithfulness. Love is choosing to do what is good for other people. And faithfulness is being someone who's consistent. Not doing good for you today, but hurting you next week. Love and faithfulness. So be loving and faithful to those who serve you, those at the shop checkout, to the bus driver, to the person you speak to on the phone about a utilities provision. Be loving and faithful to the people you're on the bus with when you're a passenger. Be loving and faithful to the people you meet at the gym. Be loving and faithful to the people in your family. Bind them around your neck. Write them on your heart. This should be always present in your life. Next instruction in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, submit to him. With all your heart, all your choices, trust God's ways, lean on his understanding, not your understanding. And what are God's ways? Well, we've seen those in verse 3. Love and faithfulness. Let love and faithfulness be true of you in all your ways. Another instruction from the New Testament, always be thankful to God. Practice that always. Verse 7, do not be wise in your own eyes, fear the Lord and shun evil. This is the third time in three chapters that we're told to fear the Lord. And we can see a bit about what that means here. It's the opposite of being wise in your own eyes. If I'm wise in my own eyes, I think, oh, I don't have to love that person. I don't have to be faithful to that person. I'm going to get my own back against them. Well, no, if I'm fearing the Lord, I'm following his instructions. And I will be loving and faithful. Verse 9, honour the Lord with all your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Your wealth is your savings, your crops. In those days, that would be your earnings. So honour the Lord with all your prosperity. Now, this is a part of the Bible we need to stop and think about, because it seems that God is offering extraordinary benefits here. We've looked at the instructions. Look at the offers that are made, or the reasons for keeping these instructions. So verse 1 says, my son, do not forget my teaching, but keep my commands in your heart, for they will prolong your life many years and bring you peace and prosperity. And verse 3, let love and faithfulness never leave you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Why? Verse 4, then you'll win favor and a good name in the sight of God and of man. Verse 5, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. And then there's more reasons for obeying. Are those true? Are those reasons really true? This is describing a life where believers have long, peace-filled life, favour with God and others, a straight path through life, physical health, and great prosperity. Is that really true? What we've got to recognise is these are not promises of the Bible. They're describing part of life from one aspect, but they're not set out as promises. Can we have the next slide? Here we go. This is later on in Proverbs. It says, though the righteous fall seven times, they rise again, but the wicked stumble when calamity strikes. So this is saying the righteous ones, those who fear God, those who walk his ways, they will fall seven times. People will say they've lost it. They're losers. Repeatedly. So whatever we've got in chapter 3 has got to match this. Does that make sense? What we've got in chapter 3 can't be a promise that inevitably comes true. You know, there's not going to be keys for Jaguars and Land Rovers in the lobby as you go out. You know, they're in the car park for you to pick up. The Bible doesn't offer that instant prosperity if you choose God's way. It's not a promise, but this is the way to live rightly. And things will go better for you in your life if you choose God's way. You will not inevitably be healthy, popular, prosperous, and successful. Because we know that, because in the same book it says, if you're a righteous person, you might well fall over seven times. And think about Jesus. He honored his father through all of his life. And was his life full of prosperity and success and popularity? No, they spat on him and they laughed at him while they executed him. He was the perfectly wise person. So whatever these words are saying, it's not promising in this life guaranteed success. We'll think about it more in a bit. What it is saying is living rightly is good for us. This is the best way for us to live in honoring God in all that we do, in love and faithfulness, in listening to his ways, not choosing my way. That is the best way to live in this world. Become wise, fully commit your life to God. Now, that can be hard to do. And sometimes when we're not doing it well, God will discipline us. He will create situations that push us to do the right thing when we want to do the wrong thing. So you see that in verse 11. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Difficult things that will come in our lives. Do not resent his rebuke, because the Lord disciplines those he loves. As a son, he delights in. Remember Hebrews 12 we heard earlier, the Maureen read? Those words are in Hebrews 12. And I just want to make a note here for you or point out something important. That means that Proverbs is for all of us. Proverbs was written originally for young men. That's why it keeps on saying, my son, hear this, my son, be wary of that. It's written for young men. Some people say, in fact, it was only written for the princes, for the sons of Solomon. And others will say, well, do we need Proverbs now we have the Holy Spirit? Do we need a book to teach wisdom if we have the Holy Spirit with us? Well, the Holy Spirit inspired Hebrews chapter 12. And Hebrews chapter 12 uses these words to teach Christians. So Proverbs isn't just for the Old Testament. It's for Christian believers. It's not just for young men or even just for princes. It's for all of us. And so this warning is true for us. Verse 11, my son, my daughter, do not despise the Lord's discipline. Do not resent his rebuke. Difficulties will come and they will teach us to rely on God if we will learn from them. Do not think difficulties in your life means God is powerless. Do not think when hard times come in your life it means God can't love you. He's actually saying, this is like the parent who's teaching the child to cross the road and punishes them when they don't listen. Is that a parent who doesn't love that child? No, they're showing their love because they're training them in the right way to go. There's a section that we haven't got time to look in, verse 13 to 18, the great blessing of wisdom. So verse 13, blessed are those who find wisdom, those who gain understanding. And verse 18, she, wisdom, is a tree of life to those who take hold of her, and those who hold her fast will be blessed. Growth groups will be looking at that in the week. Let's look on to verse 19, which talks about when God made the universe. When God made this universe that we live in, he made it with wisdom. And the point here is, if we're learning wisdom, what we're learning is in line with the universe that God has made. Wisdom is built into the creation. So look at verse 19. By wisdom, the Lord laid the earth's foundations. By understanding, he set the heavens in place. As we sing, from the highest of heights to the depths of the seas, creation's declaring your majesty. The world we live in works because God makes it work. And the right working of the world is because it matches who God is. He made it with wisdom. Remember, wisdom is making good and right choices. So when God made the sea, he did it according to a good and right choice. When he made the heavens, it was a good and right choice. When he made humans and how we are, it was a good and right choice. It was wisdom. And so this world we live in is full of God's character. It's full of his wisdom. The God who said, let there be heavens, the God who says, let there be a sea, is the God who says, love your neighbor. It's not the sort of religion is not a separate part from the world that we're living in. It's all under God's making, and it's all made with wisdom. So do you want to live well in this world? Be wise. Let love and faithfulness control all that you do. And that's one of the answers as to why there will be good outcomes in life if we follow that way. Because we're living according to the universe that we're in. So moral choices has an impact in our lives. It's not just for the religious part of life. It's to do with the what we call the natural part of life as well. So become wise, says on the board, fully commit your life to God. Secondly, and more briefly, become wise treating others well. Become wise, treat others well. I'm going to read from verse 21 to the end of the chapter. My son, just to review, where have we been so far? We've said that wisdom is about living rightly in God's world as we learn to make good choices. We change as we make those good choices. We're not expecting the Holy Spirit to choose for us. But as we change and become good at making choices, we're becoming like Jesus, the perfectly wise one. The route to do that is fully commit my life to God, the God who says, be a loving person, be a faithful person. Make my choices according to what he has said in the Bible, not according to what I would prefer. That's the route to go for wisdom. Okay, verse 21. And my son, do not let wisdom and understanding out of your sight. Preserve sound judgment and discretion. They will be life for you, an ornament to grace your neck. Then you will go on your way in safety, and your foot will not stumble. When you lie down, you will not be afraid. When you lie down, your sleep will be sweet. Have no fear of sudden disaster or of the ruin that overtakes the wicked. That's not like overtaking in a car. That's sort of overwhelming your life. For the Lord will be at your side and will keep your foot from being snared, trapped, or caught. Verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it is due when it is in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Do not accuse anyone for no reason when they've done you no harm. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. For the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. He mocks proud mockers, but shows favor to the humble and oppressed. The wise inherit honor, but fools get only shame. So we become wise, this is telling us, as we treat others well. There's some examples here as to what love and faithfulness that we are commanded in verse 3, what they look like. Verse 27 and 28, we should be good and generous. So verse 27, do not withhold good from those to whom it's due when it's in your power to act. Do not say to your neighbor, come back tomorrow and I'll give it to you, when you already have it with you. So someone needs my help, or I owe them some money, or I should pay them because I'm their manager, and I can do that, but I think I'll give it to you later. That's wrong. That is not loving and faithful. We should do now what we can do now. It doesn't say you have to give them what you don't have, but when you can, you should fulfill those duties. Second, don't be malicious, verse 29. Do not plot harm against your neighbor who lives trustfully near you. Don't accuse anyone for no reason when they've done you no harm. This is planning to hurt people. That's not love and faithfulness. That shouldn't characterize people. Well, it doesn't characterize people who are living well in God's world. That's not the way he's made us to live. And don't envy a violent person, verse 31. Do not envy the violent or choose any of their ways. They might succeed in life, it seems. They might be more prosperous than you, more popular than you. It might be that people listen to them and admire them. But don't you envy those ways. Do you see, wise living here is about how we treat other people. Wise living doesn't start with what would I like to do, what feels nice for me. Wise living considers my neighbour, people around me, and seeks to do good for them. It's not a life in which we use other people or avoid other people. Neither of those is a way of love and faithfulness. Now, the foolish thing would be to do the opposite of these things. So that would be to withhold help when I could help you. Come back tomorrow, and I might give it to you then. It would be to envy the person who succeeds through violence. That's the foolish way. Become wise, Proverbs says, treating others well. And again, the Bible doesn't just say do this because God tells you. He gives us reasons so we understand, so we want to learn to do this. The reasons is that it fits with God's character. Verse 32, for the Lord detests the perverse, but takes the upright into his confidence. He goes on to say, there's only two kinds of people, verse 33. The Lord's curse is on the house of the wicked, but he blesses the home of the righteous. Again, those two kinds of people, verse 34. He mocks proud mockers, people who ridicule and laugh at goodness, but he shows favor to the humble and the oppressed. This part of the Bible, it's not like for babies, where we carry the babies across the road because they don't know how to cry, they can't do it. God is not carrying us. This is for the people who are learning wisdom. God is saying, do this, and here is the reason why. You see, if it was simply do this because I tell you, God would say here, be upright, be righteous, be humble. But he doesn't just say that, does it? He says, verse 32, the Lord takes the upright into his confidence. He says in verse 33, he doesn't say be righteous, he says the Lord blesses the home of the righteous. You've got to choose. You've got to think. The Holy Spirit is not choosing for you. The Holy Spirit is saying to you, which do you want? There's two options here. Which would you like? Do you want curse? Do you want blessing? Do you want shame? Do you want honor? You have to choose. You have to think. It's pretty obvious which you're meant to choose. I hope I don't need to explain that. But the Bible says you must think. Joel's not deciding for you. The Holy Spirit's not deciding for you. You, if you're a believer, are meant to be getting wise and thinking and choosing. What are you going to choose? Now, just one last question. Someone will say, well, I'm a believer. Jesus has made me forgiven. I'm safe from all of God's anger. So why do I need this? And we have to say, yes, all people who believe in Jesus are forgiven for all the wrongs in our life. There is no guilt. There is no shame before God. We need have no fear. When we die, Jesus will say, come in, come in, come with me. But we must also say, by trusting God, we have begun new life with him, and that new life must show. That new life must show as we become more like Jesus, as we grow to be wise. We might be a long way down this path of not being very wise at all, but we will want to start. We will want to start. Which do you want to be? Cursed or blessed? Shamed or given honor? You can choose. Which do you want to be? Fully commit your life to God and treat others well. Let me lead us in a prayer. Almighty God, we praise you that you created the world with wisdom. It's not just a collection of atoms. It's not just a collection of processes and events, but within the universe is your character of wisdom, of goodness, of faithfulness and love. We thank you that if we believe in Jesus, we have got this way now to become wise like he is wise. We've got this way now to recognize you in all of our lives and learn to treat others as we should. Lord, it seems the choice here is so obvious that we should choose blessing and honor rather than curse and shame. And yet sometimes our desires are so wrong that we don't want to go your way. Lord, please make us wise so that we would choose even when it's difficult. Amen.